The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 30, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 1st, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto. Chapter number 18, the residents of Jambudvip offer prayers, text number
30.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate akarpuraya sarva sattva guna visheshanaya nanu Palakshasthanaya namo varshamane namo bhume nom namo vastanaya namaste. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Again and again. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhutaha. The Lord always remains in Goloka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, where Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayasyadanatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvashachahang sridhisandavishto mataksmatir jnanamapohanamcha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryama says, the Lord is anupalakshita sthana. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Bala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakandritamscha.
So, Krishna is amazing. How can somebody be in one place and at the same time be everywhere, ubiquitous? This is not possible for anybody of this world. We can be in one place, or we can be in another place. But we cannot be in one place and simultaneously be everywhere. That potency is there in Krishna. Because actually, everything is nothing but His energy. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So actually, there is nothing but Krishna everywhere. Because the energy of Krishna is Krishna Himself. But yet it is differentiated from Krishna because it is His energy. There is the energetic Krishna, the source of the energy. And there is the energy Krishna, which is coming from the energetic source. So for Krishna, it's not difficult being everywhere because actually everything is Krishna's energy. It's not that he has to think, well, how can I expand myself everywhere? He's already expanded everywhere. That's his normal position. He's in the heart of all living entities. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. There's nowhere you can go where Krishna is not present. So why not just surrender, make your life easy? People, they don't want to obey God. And they want to escape God. So they deny His existence. Is that a very effective program? Just like a thief, he wants to steal. But it's illegal to steal. So he says, well, there is no government. I am the government. You see, that philosophy may make him happy for some time. Until the police come and they put him in the handcuffs, they put him in the squad car and they put him in the prison. So one may think, yes, I am God. But what will be the result? Magasya gmaga karnamo mogya jnana vichetta saha Rakshasim masarim chayva pakritam mohinam shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by atheistic and demoniac views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of so-called science will be completely defeated. Just like this big scientist now, this Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says that the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. But is that science? Science means observation and experiment. Has anyone ever taken something out of nothing before? How many of you have ever popped popcorn? Anyone has popped a popcorn before? Someone, you popped it. Only one person is. There's someone else. Okay, very good. Yes. So when you popped the popcorn, did you take an empty pot and the popcorn came out of an empty pot? Did any of you did? You got it out of an empty pot? There was no kernels in the pot? If you did, then I'm going to send you this Dr. Stephen Hawking. He will love you if you can do that. The fact is, you cannot get popcorn out of an empty pot. If you want to get popcorn, you have to put some kernels and a little oil in that pot, and then you can get the popcorn. So if you can't get popcorn out of an empty pot, how can you get a universe out of nothing? It is not at all scientific. And he wants us to have blind faith in Dr. Stephen Hawking. Take it on his word. The universe came out of absolutely nothing. And they celebrate him as the greatest scientist in the modern world. He sold 10 million copies of his book. Can you imagine how much people are going after this voidism philosophy? Why are they doing this? Because they want to deny God, that's why. As soon as you deny God, then you can do whatever you want. You can rob banks. You can rape women. Do whatever you want. Kill. Steal. Anything you want. You see. But they will not escape the laws of God. Everything is being observed by higher authorities. Not only is Krishna seeing, the demigods are also seeing. Yamaraj is keeping notes. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan. Yamaraj has a book. And he's carefully noting down every single sinful activity you commit. And if you're in Yamaraj's book, the time of death, he sends his boys to pick you up. The Yamaduta department. They say, you have an appointment. Maybe you didn't know, sir, but you have an appointment with Yamaraj. We've come to take you to Yamaraj, sir. But no, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go. Is there any question of refusal when the Yamadutas come? They lasso you with subtle ropes around your subtle body and they rip you out of your gross body. They forcibly drag you to Yamaraj. And you're bit by dogs along the way, on the pathway. Fierce dogs are biting you, tearing into you. And because it's your subtle body, even though the bites are so fierce they would kill you, you don't die. So those dogs can continually biting you. And there's no relief from death. And that's just on the way to the Yamara, on the way there. You see. What to speak of what you get after you report to Yamaraj. If you have had illicit sex, you know what happens? You get to embrace the molten iron, the molten red hot iron form of the opposite sex. Red hot iron, you have to embrace it and you can't let go. It's horrible. So therefore, an intelligent person thinks, no, I don't want to go to Yamaloka and have to embrace a molten, red-hot, iron form of a woman. I don't want to do that. So, but there's another book. Yamaraj has his book. But Krishna also has his book. The Krishna book. Of course, we have our Krishna book also. You have it in Lithuanian, the Krishna book? Yeah. So we have our Krishna book. But Krishna also has his own personal Krishna book, where he keeps notes on all the devotional service rendered by the devotees. So every single service you do, it's being noted down. Every time you offer your obeisances, you're getting credits. Every time you take prasadam, you get credits. Every time you chant japa, every time you put tilak on, every time you put on your dhoti, all of these are sari. Every activity that we do in Krishna's service is noted down by the Lord. And we get credit for that, you see. That's taken into consideration at the time of death. And if you're well situated, then the agents of the spiritual world will come and they will take you back to Krishna. So simply denying the existence of the police department will not free you from their influence. It's better to know things as they are, become a law-abiding citizen, and then you don't have to worry about the police coming to arrest you. So what are the laws? There are 64 principles of devotional service given in the Nectar Devotion. Is that translated into Lithuanian? Oh, very good. If you study those 64 items of devotional service, Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion, that's instruction. Nectar of Devotion. Not yet. Okay.
It's translated, but it's not here.
Oh, you have it translated, but it's not here. Okay. If you will study those 64 items, the first item is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The second item is to get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. The third item is to obey the orders of the spiritual master. Those are, Rupa Goswami emphasizes, those are the three most important points. They include all of our activities of devotional service. But they all rest on these three principles. Shelter, initiation, and instructions. So if we will take this pathway given by Rupa Goswami, Rupa Nugamarg. If we will take this pathway, then our road back to home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. We can relish the sublime nectar of devotion at every minute. This devotion is an unlimited ocean of nectar. You simply have to learn how to always be in the mood of devotion. There's two different moods. One mood is the mood of enjoyment. The other mood is the mood of devotion. You may say, but I want to enjoy. What is this devotion? I mean, That's for old people, you know. I want to enjoy. I'm young. I'm healthy. I want to enjoy. I get strong senses. But let me tell you one thing. That enjoyment of material senses in is an illusion. It's not real pleasure. It's simply an illusion. If there's a nice bowl of ice cream, and we take your chatter and we dip it in the ice cream, it's like you have a chatter here. You see. If we take a krura as a chatter and we dip it in the ice cream, will the krura Prabhu enjoy the ice cream? No. It's chatter we dipped in the ice cream. So material enjoyment is like them. Your body is like the chatter, and the pleasure is like the ice cream. If you want the real pleasure of ice cream, then you should put it in your mouth, and then you will get the real pleasure of the ice cream. So if you want the real pleasure of existence, then you engage in the service of the Lord. That brings tangible ananda to the living entity. That puts him in a state of transcendental bliss. One devotee said, well, I don't think I want to get initiated yet because I can't imagine, you know, strictly following the rules for a householder, that only having sex once in a month and chanting 50 rounds, I just can't imagine how I can do that. What does that mean? That means he doesn't have the faith in the taste of Krishna consciousness. That bhakti rasa, you see, he doesn't have that taste. Nor does he have bhakti rasa shraddha, faith in the taste of bhakti. The fact is that this taste of Krishna consciousness, bhakti rasa, is so sweet. It's unlimitedly sweet. The amount of pleasure that's there within the names of Krishna, the amount of pleasure in the name of Krishna is incalculable. You can't measure how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna. This is stated by Rupa Goswami, as I've many times quoted before. Tunde tandavali riteng vitinute tundavali lamdeye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunarvyudes raspiham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sravendriyanam kritim no jane janita ki yadbir amitai krishne ti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, that name dances on my tongue. You see. And when that vibration enters into the whole, and when it's dancing on my tongue, there's so much nectar that my one tongue cannot taste it. So I want to have millions and millions of tongues so I can get more of that nama ruchi. And when the name enters into my ear holes, there's so much nectar in those names. That Krishna contains so much nectar that what my two little ears can taste, If I can have millions, billions, and trillions of ears, then I can start to get some of these, some of that nectar that's there in Krishna. And when that name is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned in transcendental wonder. So, if someone thinks, well, how can I get initiated? I can't give up illicit sex. I mean, it's so much fun, you know, and I like to have fun. And how could I possibly give it up? Actually, once you get a taste for the name, sex will be disgusting to you. I mean, how many people look forward to going to the toilet and passing stool, you know? Somebody get excited, oh wow, I get to pass stool now, nectar. Does anybody think that way? Oh wow, I get to pass stool. No, you do it. It's a gross bodily function. I wish I didn't have to do it, but you just have to do it. That's a... So for somebody who's advanced in Krishna consciousness, who's gotten a taste for the name, the idea of having sex is like going, is like passing stool, you know. It's just an austerity you have to do if you want to have a kid, that's all. Otherwise, who would ever want to go to the toilet room, you know, dirty? So actually, sex is, in this way, the devotee is not attracted by sex, it's dirty. He would rather relish the sweet pleasure like a paramahamsa. Sex is the pleasure for crows in the garbage heap, picking through the garbage, the dirty garbage, for some pleasure. But devotee, he's in the mood of paramahamsa. He wants to be like a swan, you see, in the beautiful lake of Krishna consciousness, with the lotus flowers everywhere. You see, beautiful natural breezes, you see. This is the mood of a devotee. You see, his mood is Paramahamsa mood, not crow mood, you see. So it's simply a matter of getting a higher taste, Prabhus and Matajis. That's all you got to do, is get that higher taste. Vishaya nirvartante niraharashyate hina rasavarshang rishopyashva parang rishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense objects remains. But experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. In other words, if I just try to mechanically say, oh, I don't want to fall down because that's not good, I shouldn't do it, you're not supposed to do it, I got to control myself, I want to fall down, but I want to have sense gratification, but I know I'm not supposed to, so I'm holding my back. That's like Ajamil.
Jeigu mechaniškai sakysime, o ne, aš nenoriu pulti, aš turiu kontroliuoti savo jusles, nes tai yra gerai.
Ajamiya knew, you're not supposed to look at a shudra couple having sex in the woods.
Kaip Ajamila, jis žinojo, kad neturėtų stebėti porelės.
You shouldn't look at such things. It's no good for a Brahmin to do that.
Brahmanai nėra gerai stebėti, kaip žmonės susiminėjo lytiniais santykiais.
But it was such an unusual sight, he just couldn't resist it. It was so amazing to see this shudra couple having sex in the woods. That he just got carried away and he meditated on it.
Wow.
And he couldn't get it out of his mind. Why? Because he didn't have the higher taste. The key is higher taste, that's the key. So how do you get the higher taste? I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying to get the higher taste, but I'm not getting higher taste. What am I supposed to do? Help me, Krishna.
Krishna, padėk.
I'm not getting higher taste. What to do, what to do, what to do? The Bhagavatam is telling us how to get that higher taste. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. Vice means sin. By such service, one gains a taste for Krishna Katha. So all you have to do is find pure devotees who live sinless lives and serve them. That's all you have to do. You find devotees who are free from sin. Don't, you know, Krishna consciousness is for them is 24/7. Not that, well, I do some Krishna consciousness, I do a little Maya, I do some Krishna consciousness, a little Maya. Not those kind of devotees. But for the devotees who have no business except for 24 hours, 7 days a week, constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. And there are many such devotees in our movement. I'm meeting them all over the world, and there are many such devotees in our movement. So if we will find such devotees and we will serve them with love, then we will get a taste that is so sublime. Wow! And if my Devi says, come on, Prabhu, have a little illicit sex. I'm going to say, Maya, are you kidding? Get out of here. You see, just like Haridas and that prostitute, you know. Can you imagine the most beautiful young woman coming in and you're all alone in a room at night and she comes and takes off her clothes, you know, and is begging you, please, please, give me sex. Pretty heavy, huh?
Wow.
But Haridas, he wasn't bothered even the slightest bit. Didn't faze him at all, yeah. Faze him, he didn't affect his consciousness at all. He was actually being very merciful to this girl. Instead of saying, get out of here, you rascal. He said, you just sit here, my dear young girl. I will satisfy your desires. Just let me finish my japa first. You sit comfortably here. I'll be patient. I will surely satisfy your lusty desire. Just let me finish my rounds first. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All night long, going on, chatting, chatting. He was going deeper, deeper, deeper into Namaras, you see. And that girl, she just fell sound asleep, you know. And when she woke up in the morning, he says, oh, my dear young, beautiful young girl, I'm so sorry I didn't give you sex last night, but if you come tonight, I will definitely give you sex tonight. So in this way, the same thing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let's let me, but after I finish my rounds, then I will give you sex. Just be patient and wait here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And this way the whole night. Again, he said, oh, I had this quota, I didn't finish my quota yet, so please forgive me. You just come down the third night, I guarantee, absolutely assure you, tonight I will definitely give you sex. I'll be done tonight with my quota, and I'll give you sex tonight. Don't worry, just come tonight. So again he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, whole night long chanting. And she's hearing this holy name going on. Just she's a little bored. She starts to make fun of it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Making fun of it a little bit. Yeah, you're just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. She's making fun like that. But actually, but even though she was joking, making fun of, mimicking Haridas, making fun of his chanting. Still she was chanting Hare Krishna. And she was getting purified. Every time she said Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, she got purified. And her chanting, making fun of Haridas, all of us gradually turned into sincerely chanting Hare Krishna. And then she realized, what a demon I am. What a rascal. This is a great saint. I have come here to pollute him. Shame on me. Shame on me. And she fell down at his feet, begging for forgiveness, crying, begging for mercy. You see. Now Haridas could have, so Brahmachari Haridas, he goes, wow, now I have a nice, beautiful wife, I'll become grihastha, you see. Now he gave her the hut. He gave her the bhajan. He said, "You can. My bhajan kutir is now your bhajan kutir." Hare Krishna, and he left. And that girl, she chanted the same vow as Haridas, 100,000 names every day. Or is it 300,000? 100. What is it? No, 300,000 names. 300,000 names. Three times, it's about 192 rounds a day, yeah. So she took up the same vow of chanting 300,000 names a day. She shaved her head. Became a complete renunciate. Following the same pathway of Haridas Thakur. So in this way, we can see how Haridas Thakur, he had this higher taste. You couldn't tempt him with illicit sex. Or even licit sex was not a temptation for him. He simply wanted to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the holy names. Even though he was a Muslim, he was elevated by Lord Chaitanya to be Namacharya. Because nobody could chant Hare Krishna like Haridas Thakur. He was the best chanter of Hare Krishna. So every day when we do our Prema Dvani prayers, we always say Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. In this way we are begging the mercy of Haridas, you see. That we can get the higher taste. That way never be attracted by a material sense gratification ever again. Do you know that material sense gratification is poison? If I gave you a cup of poison, would you want to drink it? Yes, Sankarshan Prabhu, thank you. Would you drink the poison? But yet we are doing it. We keep thinking, oh, sense gratification. Let me get a little sense gratification. We have to get out of this foolishness. We must become true philosophers. And realize this poison is a waste of time. Simply, I have to get this higher taste. Isn't it true, Shama Sundari? We have to get this higher taste. Yes, she agrees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, and now I can ask if there are any questions.
Čia kalba yra dabar apie aukštesnį skonį. Krišna sako, kad ne tas mano atsidavęs, kuris man tarnavo, bet kuris tarnavo, 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 tarnavo. Tai šita seka tarna, tarna, tarnas, tai čia kalba apie tyrus atsidavusius.
Krishna said, but one is not my devotee who is my devotee, but devotee of my devotee is my devotee.
Mm.
So this is devotee of his devotee, this is some pure devotee or any devotee.
Mm. Actually, we are devotee of all of the devotees. But we are especially the devotees of the pure devotees. Because we have to seek out a pure devotee and take shelter of him. So especially it means to be the devotee of the pure devotee, become disciple. But it applies to the other devotees too. Just like I'm devoted to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. But I'm devoted to all of you as well. I'm devoted to each and every one of you. I'm your servant. I'm devoted to you all. It's my duty given by Prabhupada that I have to help you to become Krishna conscious. So it's not that I'm only a devotee of Prabhupada. I'm also your devotee. In this way. Questions more? Rupa Nuga Prabhu.
Irgi dėl aukštesnės skonio. Yra, visi ieškom to aukštesnio skonio, bet yra daug pavyzdžių, kad žmonės turėdami materialiam pasaulyje turtų šlovę nusigyvena iki valkato arba visus viską praranda. Kame čia?
Some people who has materially everything, sometimes they lose everything and become degraded materially. Why it is happening?
Karma. They had the karma which gave them all that material opulence. But because they did not utilize that opulence in the service of Krishna, they were gradually burning off all of their good karma. And as soon as they burn it all off, they become a poor man, a beggar in the street. So if somebody is a rich man, and they want to stay rich, all they have to do is engage that wealth in the service of Krishna. And then they won't burn off the good karma that gave them their riches. If they engage that wealth in Krishna's service, then they'll become more wealthy, more wealthy, more wealthy. Any other question? Yes.
Last 2 years, I don't want to do anything. I always have to
push
myself to do something, materially or spiritually.
That means you're a tamaguni.
So what to do?
You have to at least become a rajaguni. That will help you. But so how to get active? That's the question. So let me ask you, if you were fell off of a ship and you were drowning in the ocean, would you call for help or not? Would you think, well, I don't want to do anything? Actually, there was one time a king, And he made a policy. He said, now in my kingdom, I will maintain all the lazy men. Those who are truly lazy, I will give them full maintenance. So he made an announcement. Every lazy man who wants to be maintained, get full maintenance from the king, you come and we will test if you're a lazy man or not. You know this story? You know this story. Yeah, so all the hundreds of lazy men came. Thousands of lazy men came. Wanting to get maintenance from the king, you see. So they put them all in one building. And they put the building on fire. And all the men, they came running out. Except for two men. This man said, oh, the house is burning down. It's very hot on this side. And they said, well, let me turn over then. Let's flip the other side. It's getting too hot on this side, so I'll flip over, you see. So there was two men, they just flipped over instead of from the other side. They were laying down, you know, taking a nap in the house. This side is very hot, so they just flipped over. So the king said, well, these fellows are the real lazy ones. I will maintain them. So, I can understand you're having a problem with laziness. And actually, I formerly was a very lazy person also. And so, one time there was a sannyasi who came. Actually, we went to one festival. There was sannyasi who was giving a lecture. And so I asked, because I knew I had a problem with laziness, I asked the question, how to overcome laziness? And I can tell you, I was very scared that he would say, by hard work. I was really scared he would say that, because that's what I didn't want to hear. Because I was really lazy, and I was a hippie, you know. Lazy hippie. So, but he gave the most wonderful answer. This sannyasi was very good for giving short, sutra-like answers. They were loaded with deep, deep meaning. In two words, he answered my question, and I was just going, wow. I said, how to overcome laziness? And he said this, by love. Can you imagine what a profound answer that was? By love. So that's how you overcome laziness. Have you ever seen a mother that was lazy about taking care of her baby? Those mothers work so hard. And they don't even think it's work. They do not even think that it is work. Because of their loving affection for that child. So, if you have no motivation to do anything, then try to awaken love within your heart. Love for Guru, love for Vaishnavas, love for Krishna. Try to develop feelings of love. And then once, when that love becomes awakened in your heart, you become the most active person in the whole world. One man, he just wrote me an email. This is in Thought for the Day today, by the way. Those of you in Thought for the Day, you'll read this in Thought for the Day. But he was thinking, the Indian system of self-realization means you become inactive. You give up all ambitions. Actually, people have that idea. Even in the West, they have that idea also. In my householder days, now I'm vanaprastha, but when I was a householder, I applied one time to be a computer programmer for a very high profile IT company called EDF. Mm-hmm. And I, on my resume, I had never worked, you know, at a regular job, so I had to put something on my resume. So I put Bhaktivedanta Book Trust on my resume. Bhaktivedanta Book Trust on my resume, you know, we apply for a job. So as soon as they saw Bhaktivedanta, they think, oh, that's Indian philosophy. That means you won't work hard. We don't want you. So they had this idea that if you're into Bhaktivedanta and those Indian kind of things, you're just a lazy man, you know. You have no drive, you have no determination. You just kind of just sit down and, you know, you know. So this man asked me, he said, you know, how you can work then if you have, how work can be done if there's no ambition. He was thinking that our pathway of Krishna consciousness means you become free of any ambitions. Therefore, you cannot work and accomplish anything in this world. You just become a good for nothing, a parasite. That's what he was thinking. And he, so I told him this. I said, actually, a person who becomes Krishna conscious, he becomes the most ambitious person in the whole world because he wants to take over the whole world for Krishna. He's more ambitious than any materialist. That's a thing. So if you become Krishna conscious, Mataji, then you become, you'll be full of ambition, full of drive, full of determination. I want to revolutionize this planet for Prabhupada's pleasure. Every day you wake up, another day, another adventure. Not that, oh, I don't want to get out of bed, just pull the covers over my head and sleep as long as I can. Sleep is death. Get out of that death. Throw those blankets on the floor. Get out and distribute books. Get out and preach. Make devotees. Make a revolution. You see, don't be a tamaguni. You become a fighting woman. Lord Prabhupada said, I do not want sit-down Vaishnavas. I want fighting Vaishnavas like Hanuman and Arjuna. What are the great famous literatures of India? Ramayana, Mahabharata. Both of them means there is fighting going on. There is fight against Ravan. And there is fight against Kurus. So who says Indian philosophy is just sit down with no ambition and become lazy? That's not Indian philosophy. Indian philosophy means fight. Defeat the demoniac civilization. That is India. That is true Vedic philosophy. So you become a Vedic woman. Don't be a tamaguni. Okay? All right. Oh, well, everybody's big. Oh, my goodness, we got so many questions. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, my goodness, what to do? I don't even. Overwhelmed with questions. Manaji, who should I answer first? Huh? Anyway. Anyway, let's go ahead and take one. Okay. All right, Nashville.
Mataji Nareshwari has an offering because she has so many service and no time, so maybe she can help for Mataji Nareshwari.
Yes. I want you to be assistant of Mareshwari. You assist her. Become her servant. Yeah. Okay? All right.
kada mes, kada pas mus bakti ateis, kada mums žinys duos. Ir ne tik materialiai, bet dvasiškai. Tai ką tada nuo mus taip priklauso, nu ką mes galime pakeisti arba ką daryti.
It is said that Krishna knows when we will come to him, when we will become pure devotees.
Yes.
So question is, what depends on me?
Yes. What depends? Krishna knows. Just because Krishna knows when you surrender doesn't mean he's dictating when you surrender.
Tad kad Krishna žino kada jūs atsiduosite, tai nereiškia kad jis diktuoja ar jūs atsiduosite.
So what's up to you is you have to decide to surrender. You have to make the conscious decision, I will now surrender to Krishna. You have to use your free will to surrender to Krishna. You make the conscious decision. Next question.
Kaip į mokytojo pasakymą sureagavo darbdavys?
Okay.
Nu, kad pirmai pasakot, kur mokytojas pasakot, kad jau pas darbdavys sako, tu nemotyvuotas, aš motyvuotas, nes man, aš visą pasaulį turiu užkupuoti.
When you went to job and they read this Bhakti Vedanta, how they react in this?
How did they react?
Yes.
They didn't hire me. They think, you will not work hard because you're the Bhakti Vedanta. You will not work hard, we don't want you. They told me. I didn't get that job. They saw Bhakti Vedanta there. Yeah. Yeah.
Mataja turi problemų su tingumu. Aš, pavyzdžiui, aš noriu visur būti ir, ta prasme, bėgu nuo darbo prie darbo. Kartais ne tik šventyklą noris ir išėti su draugais, ir aš plėšiuosi ten save draskau. Ir vis tiek, ta prasme, nu, atrodo gerai viską darau, bet aš nemanau, kad aš viską pasirinku taip gerai. Va, aš norėčiau, ta prasme, išmokti, atsirinkti viską, kas yra gerai ir ką aš turėčiau daryti, kad nereikėtų ir savęs plėšyti ir kad aš būčiau pilnai pasvotinta, ta prasme, to viso aktyvumo.
I have different problem than this Mataji. I am so active, I want to do everything, and I want to do so many things, there is no proper time. So how to choose the most important things to do?
Well, the most important, Rupa Goswami has given a huge list. He says the most important thing is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You get initiated by him and then follow his orders. So if we will do that first, then we just follow whatever our spiritual master tells us and everything will become clear. Spiritual master will help us prioritize what we should do and what we should not do. He has given a very big list, but he said the most important thing is take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, then follow his instructions. And then your passion will be very nicely channeled.
Ir tada jūsų šita noras daug veikti bus labai teisingai nukreiptas.
Yra dvasiniai skoniai, sakoma, galima išlaikyti transcendentiniam lygį. O jeigu tas transcendentinis lygis kaip dygsnis, tiesiog labai trumpas ir tiesiog gūnos ir būna užvaldžiusios, kaip mes turėtum pastoviai išlaikyti tą transcendenciją?
This transcendental taste, it comes very shortly and go away because of gunas itakas. How to keep
because of what?
Because of gunas.
The gunas? Well, if you're really getting the higher taste, it's not going to go away. If your taste is going away, it means you're just getting a shadow of a higher taste. Because once you get the real higher taste, you don't look back, you say. If you're saying, I get the taste and I lose it, that means you're only getting a shadow of the taste right now. So now you got to move forward and see how to go beyond the shadow to get the real higher taste. The key is a service mood. Don't be in the mood of enjoy, be in the mood of serve. That's where you get the real taste. When you develop that service mood. We have a tendency to be lazy, don't we? So we have to replace that laziness with a loving service mood. And then the taste will be so sweet. Wow! Sweeter than the sweetest honey. Next question. Atras.
Aš jau kitą paskaitą visą tokių dėmesį, kad kalbat visą laiką apie revoliucijas. Iš istorijos mes žinom, kad revoliucijas visą laiką darė patys neapšygiausi žmonės. Ir tai yra nusikaltėliai, kurie baigė vos keturias klases ir tai buvo su dvejetais. Paimkim ten Leniną, arba Kuboj, arba dar kur nors. Tai man kažkaip labai atrodo, nu, Krišna yra tas vat nektaro davėjas, tas vat širdies minkštumo davėjas. Apie kokią vat tą revoliuciją visą laiką kalba. Aš kartais net šventykloje girdžiu, kaip baktai kalba, padarysim revoliuciją, čia pakeisim pasaulį. Kai aš, pavyzdžiui, suvokiu ne pasaulį, ne aš galiu pasaulį keisti, bet pasaulis mane keičia. Čia vat yra principas, tas dieviškas.
You always talking about revolution. From history, I know that revolution was made always by stupid people.
Shooting people?
Stupid.
Oh, stupid people.
Yes. So what what type of revolution you are
talking
about?
Yeah, this is the revolution of the smart people. Lord Chaitanya's revolution. This is the revolution described by Srila Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The supreme smart philosopher, Srila Vyasadeva, he describes this revolution. See, the stupid people, they make revolution based on lording it over this material world. That's the stupid kind of revolution. That I don't like it when you're lording it over. I want to be the one that's lording over. That's what they call revolution. They want to replace one false lord with another false lord. But this revolution is to replace the false lord with the real lord, Krishna. So this is the, in Sanskrit, called Viplavaha. This is the revolution of the Paramahamsas. The other revolutions, they are revolution of the Shudras. Actually, you see, formerly the Brahmins, they led the society. But then the Kshatriya, they kicked out the Brahmins. They made a revolution, a Kshatriya revolution. Then now we will take charge. Now we will take charge. We get rid of the Brahmin class. We will take charge. And then there was a revolution of the capitalists. They said, get rid of these kings. Now that is just like now the democracy. It means the capitalists are ruling, actually. The real people who control the governments are the petty people with the money. Not the common voters. The people with the money who control the And then, the next revolution is the revolution of the Shudras, the communist movement. Throw away private ownership, the government owns everything, you see. So these are all stupid revolutions. The Kshatriya revolution, the Vaishya revolution, and the Shudra revolution, they are all stupid revolutions. If we bring back the actual Varnashram system as given by Krishna, it's described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 13. Chatur vidha bhajante mang. Let's see. Chatur varnam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Tashakataram apimam vidyakartaram avyayam. According to the three modes of material nature, and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. So this revolution is the revolution of bringing back the actual social order as given by Krishna himself. Not through bombs or rifles or swords and arrows or spears or brahmastras. This is a revolution of education. We want to educate people to understand we need saintly leaders. This planet needs to be under the guidance of pure devotees of the Lord. That is this revolution. It's not a stupid Sudra or Vaishya revolution. It is a revolution of the Paramahamsas, as described by Prabhupada and as predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Sat jana darjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the book that Prabhupada has given us. Krishna Das Kaviraj says this Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami, and it will inundate the entire world, revolutionizing everyone, whether they are lame, invalid, blind, pious, impious, it doesn't matter. Everyone will become revolutionized by this prema tsunami. So that is our revolution. It is a revolution described by the great liberated souls. We are just the humble servants of this revolution. We didn't start it. It started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are just the humble servants of this revolution, which will in due course completely take over the world. We may not see it in our lifetime. It may be many, many, many generations before it becomes fully manifested. But I'd rather see it happen now. I'm greedy to see that this movement will take over the world very soon. That's my desire. Therefore, I'm pushing this revolution wherever I go. And it's not stupid. This is the Paramahamsa revolution, the most intelligent class of men. They are pushing this revolution. Of course, I'm not one of them. I'm just their servant. But this revolution is being pushed by Srila Prabhupada, by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This revolution is being pushed by them, and I'm just their little insignificant servant. That's all. The most intelligent saintly spiritual masters, they are pushing this revolution. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then our Krishna conscious revolution will be successful. So that's how we can measure the success of our revolution. Are the high court judges wearing tilak yet? I don't know of any that are wearing tilak. There might be one in India, I'm not sure, but I don't know of any. I know in the U.S. there's no high court judges wearing tilak. So anyway, this is our intelligent revolution. But it begins by revolutionizing our own hearts. If you want to push forward Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the suffering souls, you can't do it unless you have it yourself. So the first thing is you become Krishna conscious. You see. That's the first thing. We have to become Krishna conscious. And to whatever extent we have revolutionized our hearts, to that extent we will be successful in revolutionizing this planet. That's a fact. So the revolution starts right here. Each one of us in our own consciousness, our own heart, that's where it begins. So now we're asking all of you to put your heart and soul into becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness. And work as a cooperative member of this ISKCON society to bring about the greatest revolution in the history of the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Transcendental ISKCON Revolution ki jai.